across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the state of Wisconsin Sense from the shores of Lake Wissota, where it's another beautiful day up north on this Tuesday, July 11th, 52 degrees up here on Lake Wissota. For folks listening on our home base, 93.5 The Tap. There is a cold front working its way north to south to the state. You could tell from where the showers and thunderstorms were overnight, about almost a half inch of rain up here on the lake. And again, 52 here. Up in Hayward, it's 39. Contrast that to Wisconsin Rapids, where it's 54, and Madison at 66. And you can tell that front is still slowly making its way through, going to bring some precipitation to folks now and then, which is sorely needed, but we're going to need more of it, at least for farmers and others who still want a successful growing season. Well, here's what's on tap this morning. The numbers have been crunched, and we now know how much Governor Tony Evers saved Wisconsin's middle class by vetoing Republican efforts to waste much of the record budget surplus on tax cuts skewed toward their wealthiest supporters. We'll also talk about an alleged whistleblower, somebody who is going to, just blow the lid off corruption with Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and all the, I don't know, maybe the Biden's dog. I'm not sure. Turns out he's just been charged for being an alleged spy for China and an arms dealer for Libya. So he's got that going for him. But Ron Johnson still defending him, because apparently that stuff must be all made up, not the whistleblower stuff, of which there hasn't been any evidence yet at all. So that's coming up. On the uplifting side, we'll talk to Christina Lurie, where she will have some reasons to be thankful for cows and for ice cream and for the baseball experience at American Family Field, and more about the stories that she's working on for our daily newsletter. Now to our 7 o'clock hour. It's going to be a busy day. We're going to talk first to Lee Rosch, the retired longtime leader of Western Wisconsin Technical College. He's part of a new bipartisan group dedicated to defending democracy from those who would undermine election integrity for political purposes. We'll talk to Hans Brighton Moser, Lincoln County dairy farmer, about the drought that we're dealing with here in Wisconsin. And he'll be joined by Grace Clardy of Wisconsin Farmers Union to talk about their kids and family retreat, Camp Kenwood, right up here on Lake Wissota. And I think Chad Holmes will be with us near the end of the show today to just make it a very complete experience. We hope you're along for the full 2 hours today. Along the way, if you'd like to join us, 844-967-2789 is the phone number, and email us radio@upnorthnewswi.com. That's because upnorthnewswi.com is our website. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media, but we are so appreciative to be joining Civic Media for 2 hours every morning to tell you what we're working on and to talk about all the various Wisconsin-grown radio station shows that you will find all across the Civic Media radio network. Aaron Zommers joins us now from Madison. Good morning to you, sir. Did you get any rain down there yet?
Yeah, we got some. Must have been while I was sleeping, but the ground was very wet this morning.
Okay, so we got something going on there, but again, there's still much more yet to be done in terms of getting, things where they need to be. But I'm going through, if I sound a little discombobulated, I'm going through a little baseball withdrawal. It's that time of the year where there's certain things you can count on. And I just know that, I can pour my nightly old fashioned, and I can put it next to my recliner, and I can put the Bally Sports on, and I can catch a Brewers game. And instead, there was a home run derby, which I would have watched, but the pregame and everything leading up to it, I think lasted an hour and a half. I never did actually see it. I got sick of waiting. I turned it off.
Yeah, I did end up watching it, but I was sitting in the room. One of my roommates turned it on, and then during all the pregame stuff, he called his parents to just talk, and he came back down later, and he was like, "Man, this is the most Midwestern goodbye I think I've ever had with my family." And then it hadn't even started yet.
It hadn't. Exactly. We ended up, I think... we were looking at, we DVR some of the Sunday morning shows, Sunday CBS Sunday Morning and Sunday Today, these magazine shows. And we were watching some features for a time because, it's summer TV. Summer TV is hit or miss at best. We actually tried watching a little bit of American Ninja Warrior just because we needed to get the severe weather warnings that were coming in from the local TV station. Have you watched that?
Not in a long time.
I mean, we used to watch. Remember when Wipeout was new on ABC? I mean, American Ninja Warrior, that's Wipeout without the funny. You know,
yeah, pretty much. People who are trying to.
They tried the heartwarming stories. They try to be funny, but they're not. The obstacles aren't nearly as, you know, outlandish. And in both cases, you're just watching people, you know, under the guise of athleticism, completely debase themselves by getting knocked around and falling into water or slime or whatever the case may be. And while, again, I appreciate their efforts and their athleticism, no thanks for, you know, again, getting completely physically beat up and mentally humiliated on national TV.
You know, I hadn't thought of it that way before, but American Ninja Warrior, calling it serious Wipeout really does show what it is and that it's bad.
It is. And again, different strokes for different folks. I mean, we've dipped into like America's Got Talent now and then, but, you know, I can't watch every episode of that. Summer TV is just a different cat altogether, which is why I like the consistency of being able to put on a Brewers baseball game, which we will do again come Friday. We've got the All-Star game tonight. But as far as the Home Run Derby contest goes, I know the winner hit a lot of home runs. There you go.
Of that, you are correct.
That's today's sportscast, boys and girls. Let's take a break. We've got some headlines to share with you coming up next. You're up north.
You're a rich girl, and you're gone too far, because you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch girl.
So the rich kids got a lot less of a tax cut than what Republican legislators were set to give them, and we'll tell you just how much that saved Wisconsin's middle class in just a bit. But first, a reminder, Up North News puts out a daily newsletter around 5 a.m. or so. Christina Lurie puts that together. She joins us at 6:30 to talk about some of the stories. But I will tell you that this morning's edition of the newsletter is out, and it includes not only something a little on the featurey side, like how you can see 8 classic Disney films, including The Lion King, Toy Story, Beauty and the Beast, at select Wisconsin theaters now over the summer. So there's a link for that. But also a story about how doctors at Aspirus Health are giving reasons why you should resist the urge to go barefoot all the time in the summer. So that's a couple of the stories up there. Also a story from me about the recent ruling on the 1849 abortion law in Wisconsin, and a judge saying that it's not exactly an abortion ban. Also on both the Up North News website and social media, you will see some of the work from our brand new reporter and my old TV 13 colleague, Selena Heller, covering a strike at Leinenkugel's. And the thing that's interesting about that is, here's the funny thing about reporting, Aaron. I have to reach back and grab a prop here. Here it is. I remember I talked about this on the radio previously. So Selena was mentioning that it looked like some workers at Liney's were going to go on strike. And there was a note somewhere that said, near as folks can tell, this is, you know, the first strike at Liney's since sometime in the 1980s. And I thought, I think I can nail this down. And I think I mentioned after Christmas, somebody gave me for Christmas this coffee table book on the history of the Leinenkugel Brewery.
Right.
And I thought, okay, so I had to go through a whole, it's a great book about, you know, about a hometown business. And that's where I was able to actually find the date itself in the spring of 1985 for the only other strike at Leinenkugel's and how it lasted only 4 days. So we're in day 2 of a strike in Chippewa, but see, this sometimes one for the pack rats, you know, keeping all those books and newspapers and everything, it might just come in handy.
Yeah, and this way you can keep track of whether or not they beat the record. Maybe they finish it in 3.
Exactly. So I am a Library of Congress downstairs sometimes.
I tell myself too, Pat.
It's whatever I got to tell myself. So you will find that story about the strike at Liney's both at the Up North News website, upnorthnewswi.com, or look on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Search for Up North News WI. Don't forget that WI if you want to find what we're doing. Okay, the numbers have been crunched on what happened to the state budget bill after it passed out of the Republican-controlled legislature, and then after Governor Evers used his veto pen 51 different times somewhere in the budget bill. And the one that's being talked about the most is the impact on a tax cut. And at the risk of repeating myself, but I don't think it can be said enough, because I've been saying for a year now, when we realized there was going to be a budget, that Republicans were going to try to give most of it away in tax cuts skewed to the very rich, that it's not just irresponsible, it's a heist. And it turned out that's exactly what they did. They waited until the very last thing last month when putting together their version of a budget bill. But there it was, trying to give away about half of a $7 billion surplus while leaving other things hanging, like healthcare, like affordable childcare. And again, for no reason. There's no reason to do it like this. With a $7 billion surplus, there's enough out there for all the various needs. But that's not what Republicans did. And so Governor Evers vetoed part of the tax cut. And as a result, we now know about the savings that are involved and the fact that it will now mean there's going to be a surplus in the next budget as well, which is a lot better to deal with than, you know, the budget potential deficits that I and others had to deal with during the Great Recession. The reporting here is by WisPolitics that says that at this point, Wisconsin will finish the 2023 to 2025 biennium, will finish that period with a surplus of more than $4 billion because of Governor Evers vetoing the bulk of the GOP income tax plan. The bottom line on it all is that by vetoing just the income tax reductions for the very highest brackets, a memo from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau says that will result in $2.7 billion in the general fund. There will be $2.7 billion more in the general fund than there would have been if Evers had not vetoed those tax breaks at the very top. The thing that was vetoed by Republicans, that Republicans wanted, was dropping the top tax rate from 7.65% down to 6.5%. And that's only for people, for married couples making more than $405,000 a year. And meanwhile, if you had income from all the way between $405,000 all the way down to $37,000, your tax bracket went from 5.3% to 4.4%. Now, that's a lot of numbers to throw at you, but the one I want you to get out of that is that Wisconsin Republicans came very close to a flat tax, meaning that whether you made $37,000 a year or $405,000 a year, the people paying at people making $405,000 a year were going to pay the same tax rate as somebody making $37,000. The governor vetoed that along with some other provisions of the plan, and it means that that's $2.7 billion that can now be used for things that would actually benefit the middle class. And Governor Evers noted yesterday, he is open to negotiating further tax cuts. But much like with the budget, he's insisting that Republican legislators maybe do something for the middle class too. Maybe not, you know, skew the tax breaks so far up the ladder that it was laughable. And again, while Republicans will say, oh, the average cut was going to be this much, don't listen to the average, because it was so heavily skewed high that it was almost crumbs going to most middle-class families. So they have a chance to do it again. They're coming in this fall, or at least they can. They may decide just to take a paid vacation and stay home, but they have a chance to come in this fall and work on another tax cut, but also work on things that will help working families and help small businesses. So we'll see if they do that. And so in the meantime, the people who have been advocates for childcare, the people who've been advocates for, you know, better spending on public education, they maybe thought they'd that their work was done. It's not. So from now until September, October, expect a lot of contact, especially from parents, to Republican legislators' offices saying, hey, this should be a priority. Can you get this done in the fall, please? And we'll see if they're listening or not, or if they want to, once again, try to blow a hole in the budget with tax cuts skewed to the super wealthy. All right, now to a story about that time when Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson defended an accused spy for China. Oh, wait, that was just the day before yesterday. To get into the story, we have to acknowledge first how the right-wing media bubble can't stop making claims about corruption on behalf of Hunter Biden, or maybe it's Joe Biden, or maybe it's Jill Biden, or maybe there's a Bubba Biden. I don't know. You can't track it all. All I know is there's all these claims of bribery and corruption, and there's never been anything actually put up except a potential laptop that's been doctored so much. How would you ever know what's in there? And other claims that just don't turn into anything. So people ask the Republicans, can you put somebody up who can actually talk about this? And they found somebody. At least so they say. It's a lot like the 2020 election in that there's no there. The Republican strategy is that if we claim there's evidence long enough and loud enough, then just enough of our base will believe us. And that's what's been happening since Republicans narrowly took over the House of Representatives last November. Again, only because of gerrymandered maps in a few places like Wisconsin. They have this litany of allegations, and yet every one of them leaves them looking like Wile E. Coyote in a Roadrunner cartoon. And now the latest one is the whistleblower they lost track of, who was going to, you know, blow the barn doors off on telling what he knows. And he was just charged yesterday with essentially being a spy for China, an unregistered agent who provided financial support to an official working with Trump after the 2016 election, and for being an arms dealer, helping set up potential deals for China to sell weapons to Libya and Kenya, and for trying to help Iran sell oil in violation of U.S. sanctions. When this guy, who we now know his name is Gal Luft, was first arrested in Cyprus in February, he was released on bail, and he fled. And he's been a fugitive ever since. But he's also the guy who Republicans said was going to be their special whistleblower about Biden corruption. Members of Congress made excuses for why we haven't heard from him yet. Turns out we haven't heard from him yet because he's been on the run for the stuff he is alleged to have actually done. So have Republicans learned their lesson? No. They are, of course, without evidence, now claiming that this accused China spy and accused arms broker, he's the victim. Here is Senator Ron Johnson on Sunday.
They arrested him in Cyprus to silence him. They could have gone to Israel. He resides in Israel. We have extradition treaties, but they instead arrest him in Cyprus. Now, he's literally fleeing for his life right now. He's on the run. He's an important witness. He needs to be granted immunity to be able to testify and tell his story.
Now, that is telling right there. That's what Ron Johnson in the Senate, Kentucky Congressman James Comer, who heads up the Oversight Committee, who's been running a lot of these, you know, kabuki theater, you know, political puppet shows. They want to grant immunity to an accused spy where the Department of Justice has evidence that it has filed in order to bring up criminal charges. And they want to give him immunity from all of that so that he can make claims that will enable others to distract from his own legal, shall we say, irregularities. But he's never presented evidence and appears to be using all of this just as a way to essentially scam Republicans and get away with the bad things that he's done. So we'll keep an eye on it. But again, the missing whistleblower was only missing because he remains a fugitive. Coming up next, Christina Lori has the uplift. We'll be back in a bit. You're up north. Time again for the uplift, where we talked to Christina Lori, who wasn't with us last Tuesday because I wasn't here. There was that whole national holiday thing. There was a birthday, well, first mine and then hers. So nothing but parties, but now we're back on track. Christina, good morning. How was your birthday?
It was great. How was yours? I feel like the requirement to work at Up North is your birthday must fall within a certain number of days of the 4th of July. And we both seems to be that way.
I mean, I'm good with that. It works for me. I'm grandfathered in, you know, quite literally. But as we get back on track and do some previews of stories you'll find in our daily newsletter, sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. We start with that quintessential uplifting story. Anytime you talk cows in Wisconsin, well, almost anybody. Some people have to get up at 5 a.m. to milk them, you know, and clean up after them and whatnot. But for being symbolic of the dairy state, you can't do better than National Cow Appreciation Day. What's that about?
Yes, it's certainly easier to be the people who just point out cows when you're driving on the expressway than the right folks that are taking care of them. But this Tuesday is Cow Appreciation Day. And of course, it was Leave It to a Chicken Company to create a national holiday about cows, because this was created by Chick-fil-A in 2004 as part of their Eat More Chicken campaign to, you know, encourage people to eat more chicken instead of beef from cows. So, you know, obviously the idea is co-signed by our cows. And here in Wisconsin, we use them more than just meat. Obviously, we use them for our cheese, for our milk, for our ice cream. And I just came armed with a super cow fun fact for you, Pat.
A super cow fun fact. Ready. I'm ready. So bring it.
This borders on both this holiday, National Cow Day, and some presidential trivia. So back in 1910, Wisconsin senator by the name of Isaac Stevenson, he sent President Taft a dairy cow as a gift. The Holstein was named Pauline Wayne. She went by Miss Wayne, and she was shipped from Kenosha to DC, and she quickly became a media sensation. So for 3 years, she grazed on the White House lawn every morning and provided fresh milk for the president. And when Taft left office, Miss Wayne was shipped back to retirement here in Wisconsin. But that is really quite the presidential pet.
I can't believe, I have not heard of this little presidential perk to have your own Wisconsin dairy cow on there. So all the more, there should be a statue. We've got a statue of Chatty Bell, this giant fiberglass cow that stands outside the pavilion in Neillsville. I think we need one, you know, for our favorite White House cow. Somebody's got to get to work on this thing. Appreciate your cows.
Well, and if you check out our social media pages, we actually have a picture on there right now of the cow, Miss Wayne, in front of the Navy building, which is now called the Eisenhower Executive Office Building. But yeah, it's just a giant cow roaming around in, you know, metropolitan DC. It's very odd.
I think the White House could use a little bit more of that. All right. We are in the midst of baseball season. We're here at the All-Star break. And so we thought, you thought it would be great to appreciate not just what we have here in Wisconsin at American Family Field, but I've always wanted to do a ballpark tour, and you're kind of helping people do that virtually here.
Yeah, I was looking at the All-Star rosters, and the Brewers are not well represented this year. I think they only have one guy on the All-Star team. And I can say this because I'm a White Sox fan, so we only have one player too. So this season, if you're going to go to the games, it really is about just the experience. So why not focus on the food? AmFam Field, I'm still getting used to calling it that. It's always going to be Miller Park to me. But they have some great foods to offer. Of course, like we broke down a bunch of them, but three of what we're calling the can't miss ballpark foods are, of course, brats. I mean, most stadiums have them, but Anfield really takes it to the extreme. I mean, there's hot dogs, chorizo, Italian sausage, Polish sausage, anything, any meat in bun you want there. Then there's something that's kind of interesting because a lot of people go to the games and they get nachos, but at Miller Park, you can find them on a stick, which really seems like they belong kind of down the street at the Wisconsin State Fair.
Right.
Yeah, it's very interesting. You have to Google it just to see a picture.
Okay.
And then there's also something unique to AmFam Field is a player-approved grilled cheese. It's called the Yelly Melt after Christian Yelich, and it's made exactly as he likes his grilled cheese. So that is specifically with Sargento Monterey Jack, sharp cheddar on sourdough bread, finished with Irish butter. Only he gets points deducted because it's not Wisconsin butter, but...
Right, but I would try that. I would give that a go.
I know. It got me thinking. I don't know. I really like grilled cheese with Munster and Swiss. What is your go-to?
Munster and Swiss. Wow, that is very interesting. I don't have any weird variation other than, you know, your typical American cheese slices and whatever loaf of bread is in the house. But, you know, when out and about, you sometimes are at a place that tries to put a spin on it, you know, like what you've done or, you know, what Yelich has done with his. And I think there should be more of that. I think there's plenty of room for experimenting with our grilled cheese sandwiches, even at a ballpark.
A lot of people are also adding like a jam or a jelly in there. Sometimes like there's like a raspberry jam and I just can't get on board.
No,
that's where I draw the line. I don't like warm jam. It seems like it should be cold with butter. So.
All right. So this is all under the category of America's best ballparks. So where have you been?
Oh, so we also compiled a list of the best ballparks in the U.S., and AmFam landed somewhere in the middle. I'm not going to give it exactly away because it's going to be in tomorrow's newsletter. So if you sign up for that, you'll get it. But AmFam Field, it did have a strong pull. Obviously, the number one and two ballparks are a little controversial because I am a fan of the other Sox. So I necessarily wouldn't put Fenway up.
Fenway on there? Okay.
I know. But and then, of course, number two, you know, is with the Cubs and Wrigley and...
But you're talking about two ballparks, both built around, 1912, you know, something like that. And so they're number one and number two because they happen to be in big cities and there's this, sense of romance around them. They're also ballparks that are over 100 years old and don't have near the amenities that you'd find at American Family Field or Target Field in the Twin Cities or anything like that. And what I'm trying to say here is, I think they're high on the list just out of habit now. I don't think that they're really, they're not offering anything, especially when you're sitting literally behind a beam at Wrigley Field, you know, where some of the seats are. One time at Fenway, they actually sat us up on the roof. They put a grandstand up on the roof down the first baseline. And that was not the safest thing that you could do, but that's, again, they can charge for it. They can get it because everybody wants to say they've been there.
And AmFam Field is a really great place to get a game. I mean, they just have so many different amenities there. I'm a little bitter because Sox Park was kind of the last of the bad new ballparks built in the early 90s. Like it's very low on this list, as it should be. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't have a whole lot going for it.
And does anybody still call it, what was it? It's been Comiskey. It was named after some cell phone company. I don't even know what it is. What is it now?
Well, okay. It first was Comiskey Park, then it was U.S. Cellular Field.
Yeah, U.S. Cellular
Series era, and now it is Guaranteed Rate Field, which is just it's extra bad because the logo for Guaranteed Rate is a down arrow, so it's just bad branding. Just imagine the Sox. You see their record; they've won 30% of games this year, and then they have a down arrow. So. Let's move on. I don't want to be depressed.
Okay. Our third and final topic, which is somewhat related to National Cow Appreciation Day. It isn't, you know, about the milk. It's about the ice cream itself. And Ice Cream Appreciation Day is coming along, I guess, right?
Yes, we gave you dinner, so we're going to move on over to dessert now. And Sunday is National Ice Cream Appreciation Day. That's a holiday that everyone, we don't need to twist your arm to celebrate that one. So we thought it would be fun to break down some of the best ice cream shops here in Wisconsin. It's obviously filled, you know, we're the dairy state for a reason. So we're filled with dozens of ice cream shops that not only serve scoops, but their communities too. So we wanted to shout out a few that are really making a difference. Here in Madison, where I am, there's a place called Ice Cream Social that was started during the pandemic. They have a tagline, it's small batches for big change. So every month they donate all their proceeds to a different charity that customers actually get to vote on. And so 10% of the profits from each month will go to that charity. And they make really great, you know, it's small batches, so it's very unique flavors. One of my favorite right now is called Cherry Styles, a play on Harry Styles.
Okay. And,
yep. It's cherry season here.
Yep.
I saw the eyes roll, Pat. Then over in Milwaukee, there's Purple Door, which a lot of people know about. It also has a ton of unique flavors from State Fair Cream Puff to Raspberry Jalapeno. And it donates 10 cents from every pint sold to Milk for Milwaukee, which is an awesome organization that provides fresh milk for people who are living in homeless shelters. So that's a great way that you can feel, you know, you can stock up on ice cream and also make a little bit of a difference. And then there are also up by you, truly up north, there's Mullins Dairy Bar in Oconomowoc, Ramon's in Eau Claire. They both are really integrated within their communities and raise thousands of dollars for local open door clinics or this nonprofit called Kayaks for a Cure, which raises money for cancer. So it's just great to frequent businesses that are not only owned by great local people, but are also making a big local difference.
Yeah, we have done stories previously about Ramon's up here in Eau Claire. Of course, anybody close to Chippewa Falls would talk about, you know, Olson's, another hometown. When I'm in either Madison or Minocqua, I am guaranteed to stop in at Kilwin's and get a dish of the toasted coconut and throw some hot fudge on that thing. So I'm going to go make out my grocery list right now because I think there's something missing from my freezer. I think it's time to appreciate some ice cream.
So is coconut your go-to flavor?
No, it's not. It's just as I've sampled different ones at Kilwin's, I know that that's the one I'm going to like when I go there.
Okay. What is your overall number one?
Oh, my overall number one had been mint chocolate chip for the longest time. And honestly, I'm now at the point where there's almost no such thing as a bad ice cream. So I had one favorite, but now it's like, they're all good. Just bring me anything. I'm digging on the ice cream all summer long.
Mine is anything that is pink, purple, or blue. So I like birthday cake, cotton candy, Superman. There's this one at this ice cream shop in the Quad Cities called Whitey's that is Smurf ice cream. It's like a blue moon with marshmallows in it. So those are my go-to.
Okay.
Also saw the eyes roll again.
No, I'm having this terrible, I shouldn't this early in the morning envision, you know, a Smurf being stuffed into a meat grinder and being turned into ice cream. So I think I should just move on from Smurf ice cream, however unfortunately named it might be for those of us with really sick, twisted minds. Christina Lurie, thanks for playing along.
Thanks for having me back, Pat.
All right, let's rope Aaron into this now. Favorite ice cream place, favorite ice cream flavor?
So favorite ice cream place, that one I'm going to have to think about while I talk about Cedar Crest in Manitowoc. Obviously, there's Cedar Crest plants in more than one place, but the one in Manitowoc has this giant cow out front, and there's a lot of, it's fun to play around as a kid. It's fun to point at and be like, hey, we go to the big cow after the parade for some ice cream, like if we can beat the rush, you know, that kind of thing. Just a fun family tradition.
Sure.
And my favorite flavors tend to be either caramel ice cream or peanut butter ice cream based. So Pirate's Bounty by Cedar Crest, formerly Pirate's Booty, and I will forever call it by its true name, is caramel ice cream with Oreos, M&Ms, and some other stuff. I don't remember. It's just good.
As I think about it more, I realize I could have also mentioned Moose Tracks or some variation of it. Because again, you're getting into that caramel or peanut butter. This one has peanut butter cups, little ribbons of fudge in it. I still like cookies and cream. It's just that I'd eaten so much of it, I think, throughout my 20s and 30s, because it was kind of new and novel, that I I almost never get it anymore. But when I do, I'm always happy. It's always a great flavor. But
yeah, those like Trax type flavors. That's where it's at.
All right, folks. Well, you know, now the onus is on you because you know what comes next. After we hear from a couple of our sponsors, we're going to have today's music, today's history lesson, today's music break, and we'll have some time as well. So if you'd like to give us a call at 844-967-2789, you can tell us where you would recommend people go get ice cream in Wisconsin and what flavor they should get. 844-967-2789. We'll be back here up north.
I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night.
Well, maybe, but only if you've got a dish of ice cream or a cone to go along with it. Yes, we're already getting responses to, you know, ice cream, so you can let us know what your thoughts are on that. But this is the Black Eyed Peas, I Got a Feeling. It was the number one song on this day in 2009. And who did they kick out of the number one position back then? It was themselves. Boom, Boom Boom Pow had spent 12 weeks at number one, and I Got a Feeling took its place at the top of the charts. On this day in 1969, David Bowie's Space Oddity single is Rush released to beat the moon landing, which would happen 9 days later. And one more Space Oddity. People of a certain age will remember Skylab, America's first space station. It had served its purpose and came crashing back to Earth on this day in 1979 after 6 years in space, and had a whole lot of us. I mean, it was the media sensation of its time. It was the balloon boy, you know, it was you name it, where people did not know how this thing was going to crash, if it was going to be intact, where exactly it was going to come down, and turned out to be pretty much a nothing burger, but you got to have something to talk about. On this day in 1944, well, a country singer was born, Bobby G. Rice of Boscobel, Wisconsin. He is 79 years old today, and his biggest hit was 1973's You Lay So Easy on My Mind.
You lay so easy on my mind.
On this day in 1798, the United States Marine Corps was reestablished. They'd been disbanded after the American Revolutionary War. If you've watched Hamilton at all, you'll know what happened on this day in 1804. A duel between the Vice President of the United States, Aaron Burr, who shot and killed former Treasury Secretary Alexander Hamilton. Because as we've learned in the musical, everything is legal in New Jersey. Here was the number one song this day in 1970 by Three Dog Night.
Don't turn on the lights, because I don't want to see.
On this day in 1951, on Cleveland radio station WJW, Alan Freed broadcast his first Moondog House Rock and Roll Party, marking the first radio show using the phrase rock and roll. The Moondog House Rock and Roll Party. It's what gave Alan Freed a claim on the origin of the term. Freed also played a lot of R&B music, which introduced that sound to a new, mostly white audience in the Cleveland area, and what led to the eventual placing of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame there. And happy 64th birthday, 64 years old Suzanne Vega, who is known for her songs Luca and Tom's Diner.
I am sitting in the morning at the diner on the corner. I am waiting.
I got one more birthday here, and it would be 48 years old for rapper Lil' Kim, who was born Kimberly Denise Jones in New York City. We were saying before, if you have a favorite ice cream place, an ice cream joint that you want people to go to and want to recommend, or a favorite flavor that we haven't talked about, 844-967-2789. We are in the midst of summer. It's time to try new things. And I wish I knew the name. I would give them a plug by name. But up in Cornell, there is perhaps one of the best placed ice cream shops, because it's at the top of the Old Abe Trail, which is, I want to say 18 miles from where we are in Lake Wasota, might be 14 miles. We biked it a couple of times when our kids were still living with us. And there's nothing like the feeling of relief of finishing a long bike ride. And right there, as you come into town, is a little ice cream shop. I mean, talk about location, location, location.
That's the way to do it. Another great place for it is on either side of a ferry. So you take the boat over, yes. You're just having a fun time with your family, and then you stop and grab some ice cream.
Yes, yeah. And let's see, I think of Ramon's in Eau Claire, which if it's not on the trail, it's right near the bike trail that runs through downtown Eau Claire. I'd always wanted, we have across the farm field from us over here, there is a former one-room schoolhouse, a very old one-room schoolhouse, and it was right on the old train line that ran down from Jim Falls into Chippewa Falls. Well, the rail line, of course, is now the Old Abe Trail. And when they were first paving that, my wife and I thought, what if we bought that and turned that into a little ice cream and coffee shop right there next to the trail? And we thought about it for a year or so and never did pull the trigger on it. And somebody else bought it up and it's been a real estate office ever since. And good for them, you know, nice, cute little, you know, schoolhouse office. But I sometimes wonder, you know, how that would have been having a little shop right there along the very popular Old Abe Trail.
Right along a trail, a schoolhouse themed ice cream parlor would have probably done very well.
Yeah. Now, of course, we're talking about the quaint ice cream places. There are others that simply encourage, shall we say, gluttony. When I was growing up in the Twin Cities, there was a chain called Farrell's. And if I'm not mistaken, on your birthday, you could get what was called a Lollapalooza, which was something like, again, I'd have to look it up, but it's like 6 or 8 scoops of ice cream and, you know, a gallon of whipped cream and, you know, cherries and everything else. And, you know, if you finished it, you got your name on the board or your picture taken or something like that. I'm really glad I didn't do that because I might never have eaten ice cream again.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't even want that.
No, there was a place up in Manitowoc that, you know, my wife grew up near there. And you said you did go to the Penguin before it closed and was torn down?
I think so. I don't remember it well.
Again, just one of your classic drive-ins, you know, I mean, now it's Sonic has pretty much got the near monopoly on that, but A&W, that was their thing for the longest time where you could just park your car there. And let's see, who have we got here? Scratch Ice Cream in Milwaukee is beyond words. Small batch made in, Zocalo Food Truck Park, Crossroads Collective, and a new location in Brookfield. They are the best.
Yeah, that's a text from Milwaukee.
Yes, and in a text from Madison here, it's a two-parter. Wrigley is the most overrated ballpark in the league, fact. But then this person immediately followed up with, Ice Cream Social, however, is not overrated. Goat. Truly. I think we've proven the point. You never go wrong talking up ice cream and favorite places and favorite flavors.
Definitely. And as far as Milwaukee, this might not be ice cream, but custard. Cops. There's a few locations in Milwaukee.
Custard. And remember, Sharita talked about Leon's That's a place. And Culver's, you know, again, is custard. And they're bragging up a new flavor today, actually. And I don't know if I'll find it in the next 15 seconds here. Here it is. Oh, they've announced the new flavor came out yesterday. Dark chocolate PB Crunch.
That sounds good.
I would try that. All right. So now that we've got everybody all set for ice cream for breakfast, I hate to burst your bubble, but get back to your oatmeal. Take this break. And when we come back, we will be talking about the drought with Hans Breitenmoser. Talk about Camp Kenwood. But first, Lee Rosch on Keep Our Republic next. You're up north.